This episode is brought to you by DeSanto Propane. DeSanto has been serving the energy needs of upstate New York since 1937. They're a fourth-generation family-owned business that has prioritized dependability, reliability, and integrity. If you have energy needs, call DeSanto and tell them we sent you. Visit DeSantoPropane.com to learn more. And by the Fox family of dealerships on Route 5 in Auburn. Check out their vast inventory of new and used cars by visiting FoxDealerships.com. From FreakLakes1.com, welcome to episode 213 of the Inside the FLX podcast. I'm Josh Durso, and my guest this hour is Geneva City Supervisor Lou Gard. He serves on the Ontario County Board of Supervisors, and there is plenty to talk about because it's been like 2 years since you've been here.
I know.
It's been a long time. Time flies when you're having fun?
Time definitely flies when you're having fun. So, you know, sorry it's taken me this long to get back, but I'm happy.
Okay.
Happy to be here. You guys
are busy over there in Ontario County, and that's going to be something we really focus on here.
Yeah.
But first, I want to get your thoughts just sort of generally on, obviously, the announcement last week that Assemblyman Brian Kolb is not going to seek re-election. We had a quasi-endorsement, I guess, of, on the Republican side of individual who is now running. We have a Democrat in the race, Matt Miller. He was on the show last week as well. What are your thoughts on where the race stands right now and sort of how that's evolving and how quickly it seems to be kind of taking shape?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem to be taking shape quickly. It's an interesting opportunity for the Finger Lakes and for upstate New York. I think, you know, I feel for Brian and how things played out, you know, but I think it's time, you know, it's time for a change. It's time for some new leadership. It's a really, really unique opportunity for us to, I think, send somebody to Albany that can be an advocate for the Finger Lakes and can actually work with our state government in a way that, that could be productive. You know, I think you see people tend to, you know, these things can be polarizing, let me say. And, you know, I think some of the rhetoric around, you know, kind of constantly throwing bombs at state government, it's not that I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I think that, you know, we need to be kind of have our eyes wide open about how we can actually work hand in hand with state government to make it work for upstate New York. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it evolves. Obviously, you know, there's candidates on both sides. Seem like good people. Jeff, I've worked with as a supervisor. He's a great guy. He's hilarious. You know, real upstate New Yorker guy. Nobody out Buffalo Bills, Jeff Gallahan. He's terrific in that respect. You know, but it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
Yeah. When you look at sort of the county implications of having a new representative, is that maybe one of the more unique opportunities to maybe have some of the pressure taken off of, say, Ontario County, if there were a Democrat in office in that assembly district?
Yeah, you mean like pressure in what?
In terms of some of the different ways that we see maybe upstate and some of the more rural communities, they don't have the best representation to be able to really make the right moves or make the moves that financially count for counties in terms of unfunded mandates and things like that. Maybe if you know, some of this more rural territory had a seat at the table, so to speak, it might play into, you know, a supervisor's best interest in the long term.
I think it goes back to this point about advocacy and having a partner that and somebody who's going to be making your argument at the state level, who's going to be putting forward the priorities of your county, your region, or that assembly district at the state level, and who can most effectively make your case and make your issues heard and in a way that will actually result in something positive back for your county. So I certainly think that, you know, if there were some party alignment, I think that could probably be helpful rather than the sort of clash of the ideologies that I think tends to play itself out, you know, that you're very familiar with. So,
So let's talk Ontario County. What is sort of your general assessment of where Ontario County stands now versus a couple of years ago, when you were sort of first getting a feel for things and sort of seeing how things run and operate?
Right. Well, you know, it's a healthy county. It's one of the growing counties in upstate New York, which is exciting. I think it's actually a quite vibrant place. You know, we have all the same challenges that other counties do in terms of these unfunded state mandates. I think you'll hear, you know, everybody, no matter what party you're in, can agree that it's difficult and it's tough on local governments, county governments, when the state comes down with something and there's absolutely, or school districts, and the state comes down with something and there's absolutely no funding or support for that. That makes it challenging. I think, you know, things like bail reform, obviously, you know, raise the age. Those are things that Ontario County is dealing with now that put fiscal financial pressure on the county, and we have to solve it, and we're working through it. You know, I give a lot of credit to the department heads, the staff at the kind of divisional level, and the real tough kind of precinct work that they have to do, managing their budgets, being efficient and cost effective in order to, you know, best serve the residents of the counties, and I think they do a great job at that. What else?
So, well, you mentioned something that I did want to touch on a little more.
Yeah.
Bail reform.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard a lot of counties, Cayuga, Seneca, Wayne has talked about it a little bit, how the discovery changes have really had more of an impact on the county's sort of financial well-being than maybe bail reform has, even though that's gotten a lion's share of the media attention. What have you guys sort of seen? What's the board seen so far in terms of discovery changes and how that's maybe affected the DA's office, public defender's office, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I can't speak to the granular level detail of it, really. Just as a supervisor, you know, you're kind of floating at this 30,000-foot level. But, you know, I would say that technology has changed the way that some of this stuff impacts the county. Like when you look at body cams and kind of the footage that those body cams produce, and that's evidence, obviously, in a particular case. How is that stored? How is that turned around? I mean, we're all so connected to technology these days and aware of just, you know, how many photos can I fit on this thing, and then I've got to buy more storage because I keep taking pictures of my baby. You know, it's ridiculous. So I think that these are challenges that we, you know, have not seen before in law enforcement, and it's a really interesting, you know, exercise in trying to make sure that the values of your criminal justice system continue to evolve. You keep those values as technology changes, as society kind of makes sort of different demands. So it's tough. I don't think there's not a you know, perfect silver bullet answer. I would say that, you know, I know Jim Ritz is working hard on this issue. I have full confidence in all those folks at that level, but you know, they've got a hard job in front of them, no doubt.
You mentioned the growth. Obviously, Ontario County, one of the few in the state that's seeing growth, while the rest kind of shrink and shrivel a little bit. What do you sort of attribute, sort of, if you're cherry picking a couple different things, or two or three things maybe, that have attributed or helped that growth along, what do you think sort of some of the hallmarks are of Ontario County's success over the last few years?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we have a very professional, dedicated economic development team. You know, Mike Manikowski is known as sort of being, you know, a sage in this field. And, you know, and longevity of the staff, professionalism of the staff. So, again, you know, I have to give credit where it's due to those folks. And I also think, you know, we've just got a lot going for us in Ontario County, in many of the things that Seneca County has as well, but in terms of kind of the natural beauty, Canandaigua Lake, Seneca Lake, our wineries, our restaurants, just the quality of life. I think kind of location to Rochester helps. You know, you can live in Canandaigua or Geneva and have not too bad of a commute to a job that may be elsewhere. You know, I think it's all those sorts of things.
when you look at the growth that's happening in sort of the 332-96 corridor in Farmington going right. towards Victor, as a supervisor who also has to represent the furthest east community in yeah. Ontario County, how do you sort of approach that and balance it out so that, you know, folks in Geneva are well represented in the process, right. even though the boom of the population seems to be happening west of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like different strokes for different folks, kind of mm-hmm. not to be like oversimplistic about it, but you know, I think that that's another great thing about our county is that, you know, we have different ways that you can sort of live in a community, right? If you want kind of a little urban center, you know, you could be in Geneva, or if you want an older build home, you could be in Geneva or Canandaigua or wherever. If you want sort of a new build, you know, you could find yourself in a Farmington or Victor, and those are great places too. I think it's just an asset to the county that there is, you know, some diversity in terms of ways that you can actually live here. You know, how do I represent the third and fourth wards in Geneva among that sort of growth? I'm always waving the Geneva flag. I'm unretreating from it. I, you know, I talk about the things that I love about where I live, which is, you know, proximity to my school. I live in a house that was built in 1910. I love older homes. It's beautiful. It's a neighborhood feel, a real community feel. Kids walk to school. It's 5 minutes away. You know, it's bucolic in many ways. I'm a 5 minute run from the lakefront. You know, that's mm-hmm. my usual morning routine. So, you know, I talk about, and you can walk downtown. Some yeah. people walk to Wegmans. I am just that lazy that I can't actually carry all my groceries back from Wegmans. But, you know, I think it is very much an ideal place to live, at least for me. Mm-hmm. It may not be for other people, and that's fine. But, you know, I like to talk about that.
If you were giving Ontario County a grade today, letter grade today versus maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, what do you think the sort of change has been, or how noticeable do you think that growth and that improvement has been for, you know, the average taxpayer?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's hard to put a letter grade on it. I mean, but I would say that it has improved. Mm-hmm. I do think we're getting better, I would say. And, you know, in terms of the average taxpayer, how does it impact the taxpayer? Could we do better? Of course we could do better. Yep. I would love my taxes to be lower, right? I don't know anybody that asks for higher taxes. But, you know, we've dropped the tax rate this year by another 7 cents. Now you're not going to run out and buy a new car with that savings. But, you know, I think it shows that we are, you know, we're scrutinizing this stuff closely, and we're drawing a line and making some hard decisions in the face of, again, unfunded state mandates that add pressure to county governments.
So let's shift gears a little bit and talk about the Ontario County landfill, which, of course,
love me some landfill talk. Yeah,
you have been vocal on this one, and you've been pretty steadfast in getting the message out. Give us an update for those who might not be sort of connected into this. Where we stand now, where the county stands now versus maybe a year or two ago.
You know, it's tough. When you look back at the ancient history on this stuff, and I'm not one to kind of contribute to cynicism out there, but I've done a little research myself just out of my own curiosity, because I came on the board in late 2017, was appointed by city council, and then 2018, actually sworn in following an election. And, you know, I think in the fall of 2018, for me, it reached a fever pitch in the sense that, you know, I was walking outside in Geneva and it's like, boom, you're hit with the odor, like intense odor. Not all the time, but every other day or, you know, in the afternoon, kind of randomly. And I just sort of said to myself, like, this is something that, like, we can't tolerate this, right? I mean, it's not, it goes against everything that I just talked about, you know, a successful, thriving Ontario County economy and a bucolic place that I think I live in. So it goes against all those things. And I just decided I need to fight this thing, and I need to, and not just for me, but for all of my neighbors. I think that's the other thing I try to tell people, is that I'm in this with you. Every time it smells, I smell it. You know, the poor county administrator, I literally text her cell phone at all hours of the night. If I wake up to let the dogs out or something and I smell it, I'm calling her. So sorry, Mary.
I'm sure she understands.
Yeah, you know, but if you look back at kind of the ancient history on this thing, it's been a series of, you know, go back to like 2010, odor issues, hire a consultant, try to figure it out. Odor issues, hire a consultant, try to figure it out. Now, I have nothing wrong with consultants. I think they're helpful. You do need them, right? I mean, I don't know anything about managing a landfill. I don't know anything about the science of gas or how it travels from point A to point B. So, you know, we need that expert opinion and guidance. But at some point, I think the only way to get better in life at anything is if you're brutally honest with yourself and with the people around you, right? You have to have an honest assessment of where you stand at any given point in time, and you have to use that as your measuring point of, are you getting better? I don't think that if we're honest with ourselves and we look all the way back to 2010, we can all kind of rest on our laurels. I think it shows a track record of this thing devolving in terms of its management, in terms of the impact that it's having on the local community, not just in Geneva, but I'm talking about the entire Ontario County. Mm-hmm. This thing stinks in different places in the county. It is not, it's not just Geneva, it's not just Seneca, it's not just Hopewell, it's drifting. And you know, if you talk to people, you realize that. It's funny, the outreach that I get when I, you know, if I talk about these issues, I'll be sitting in my office and my phone will ring, and it's like somebody from the town of Phelps or something, and they're calling me about it, or it's somewhere outside of my geographic scope. People care about it, and they want it to change.
Why do you think they're calling you? Do you sort of, and being sort of an outside observer, it seems like you're the supervisor on the board right now who seems to be the most, not just vocally opposed, but you've been sort of offering these repeated explanations about what's going on. Is that why you think you're getting some of those calls from other folks in Ontario County?
I think so. I mean, I try to be transparent. I think I said this earlier. I try to be transparent because I'm in this with other people, right? And for me, it is as basic as the fact that 8 months ago, my wife and I gave birth to a son who is going to grow up in Geneva, who's going to walk to school there, who's going to, you know, play outside and on the, hopefully maybe he'll play lacrosse. I don't know. I'm not pushing it, but he's going to grow up in that community, and I know that we could do better than we're doing now. I not to sound like too much of a cheerleader, but I do think that Ontario County does a lot of things really well. I think we're fiscally responsible. You know, I think, again, at the staff level, you know, people have a real exceptional understanding of what they're doing and why they're there, and they come to work with a purpose, and that's inspiring. But having said all that, I think that's the standard we need to bring to oversight of the landfill. Mm-hmm. We need a best-in-class landfill. I've said this before, too, but, you know, if we could put a satellite on Mars, I think we could figure out how to make garbage not leak into, you know, the area around it or produce awful odors that make it difficult to live with on a daily basis. So that's kind of my approach. And again, just being clear with people about what's happening, why it's happening. The latest round of a fix relates to using drone technology to detect where on the actual mound of trash gas is escaping.
Right.
And then with that knowledge, you know, installing certain types of wells that will alleviate that buildup and then that gas release, I think it's a great idea. I mean, it's, you know, it is the most comprehensive, objective, science-based approach to solving an issue there that I've seen in the 2 years that I've been sitting on the board. So I think that means something, right? I'm cautiously optimistic. As a result of some of that horizontal well construction that they're doing, we know that the odor will get a little worse in the short term. So in response to that, knowing that, I sent an email out to, you know, 100 or so people that live in my wards just saying, like, here's what's going on. Here's what they're doing about it. It may get worse. I'm here with you. We're going to get through it. And hopefully it's for the better. But if it's not, you know that I'm going to jump on it if it doesn't get better. Mm-hmm. I believe in that level of transparency for people. You know, so I think that sometimes that kind of communication prompts people to, you know, reach out to you wherever. I mean, the Finger Lakes Times ended up picking up my email and then making an article out of it, which, you know, I wasn't expecting. It's kind of funny, but because I literally, you know, pick up the paper and you're like, oh, There's my mugshot again. Like, terrible.
So you do have confidence in this. I guess the question would be what is your confidence mm-hmm. level in the plan that's being sort of followed through now? Also, what is the sort of timeline that you guys have been offered in terms of how long all of this is going to take to sort of implement?
Yeah. I guess to give it kind of a confidence score, I'd say I'm up there in like the 8 out of 10 range.
Okay. Yeah.
Fixing the particular issue that they're trying to address, which is the gases coming out of the areas that they've identified to be the hotspots.
Right.
I don't know that that fixes the overall problem, which to me, you know, is a 300-acre landfill. But I mm-hmm. think that in terms of they've identified these hotspots and they're going to put these wells in, That all makes sense to me, and I'm cautiously optimistic on that. What was the second part of your question?
What's the timeline look
like?
Oh
yeah, timeline.
For...
So, you know, they've had difficulty with actual construction lately because, well, not recently, but up until about a week or two ago, we had kind of a warmish winter, and because the winter's so warm or was so warm, it's difficult to get heavy equipment up on the side of a hill. Like they really wanted freezing. So they've been working now that it's been colder. It should get things completed shortly. And then there's probably a 4 to 6 week period after that of kind of like tuning the wells and, you know, that's just kind of making sure the equipment's kind of running properly. So it's going to take some time, no question. But again, you know, I go back to this. If it doesn't work, I'm not walking away from it, you know.
One of probably the more frequently seen questions that we see pop up whenever we post a story about the landfill in Ontario County is, why not close it?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are a lot of moving parts there to address for the county. But is that sort of the long-term plan? And what are sort of the steps that the board has at least thought about in the last couple of years to sort of maybe get to that point?
It's my long-term plan. You know, now I speak for wards 3 and 4 in Geneva. I can't speak for all 21 of my colleagues, but that would certainly be my long-term plan is to shut it down at least to external waste, right?
Yep.
I mean, you know, we have to figure out as a county what we do with our own waste, but I think enough is enough on trucking you know, sewer sludge from New Jersey, no disrespect, I like New Jersey, or wherever, to Ontario County and dumping it in everyone's backyard. I just think that's wrong. I mean, I've even floated the idea back when the smell in 2018 was so bad that it was, you know, driving people in Geneva crazy. I floated the idea of, you know, let's just figure out what it takes to get out of the contract and buy them out and let them walk away. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that idea didn't get very far. I mean, you know, there's definitely an impact on revenue, but we're not talking vast amounts of money here in what is a $200 million or so county budget. You know, we're talking a few, you know, couple percent, two or three percent of that overall pie. So I think we could figure that out if we had to. People weren't particularly interested in that idea, but you know, for my part, I think, and I'm on the record saying this previously, that whatever our strategic planning efforts are around sustainability and solid waste management for the county, I think the big picture vision needs to be that in 2028, when that lease is done, and there's not another lease, especially with Casella.
Right.
So, you know, that'd be my take on that.
When you looked back, sort of when you were digging through the history of what's happened there at this particular, in the last, say, 10 years or so, was there a particular event that seemed to sort of be when things started to go wrong, or was it just sort of a slow, a slow grind into what it evolved into in like 2018 when you're saying it sort of peaked?
Yeah, I mean, I think to generalize, anytime they are, anytime they're kind of disturbing the pile, if you will, you know, whether it's installing new wells or, you know, the expansion. Like a lot of people, I think, are unclear on this point, but in 2015, the board, just to be very clear, I was not on the board at that time, but voted to expand it within the 300-acre footprint that has already been designated by, you know, as as the landfill. So we're not, they didn't increase the actual land that had been authorized for the landfill, but they had authorized, you know, this increased cells. So like when they're constructing new cells, they're obviously, they're digging into, they're disturbing stuff that has been under cover of soil for a long period of time. And so that produces odors.
Right. When you look, I want to shift gears a little bit, get a little bit of economic development talking here. Cherry Bundy, leaving Geneva. Obviously, kind of a bit of a blow, a bit of a setback for maybe Ontario County and sort of the Finger Lakes as a whole, but not sort of a death knell by any means.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to finding out that they were going to be leaving New York State, not just Ontario County, but New York State entirely?
You know, I think it's like to... The word bummer is an understatement. It was a huge disappointment. Suffice it to say, I'm not going to be buying any Cherry Bundy anytime soon, you know, for my post-workout drinks. You know, no Cherry Bundy for this guy. I think it's terrible. You know, I think that they made, you know, they came and kind of got these perks and took advantage of them, and now they're out of here. Now, having said that, that is the economy that we live in, sadly, or you know, or whatever, but that's kind of the state of things. My understanding is that they, you know, they made good on all the loans that they had taken. They didn't take advantage of certain other programs that maybe they could have. So, you know, that's business. I think it's terrible for the people that work there, obviously. It's kind of a morale kick, if you will, but I think it also is what it is. So
does this sort of go back to the point that maybe the state needs to have some better sort of checks and balances in the whole economic development process so that there is sort of this barometer check throughout the process rather than going from this company is thriving to all of a sudden this company is leaving and it's gone?
Yeah, you'd almost imagine like some sort of like exit interview or something where we could like have a last minute opportunity to say like why are you really going to leave and what would it take to make you stay. Now, I don't particularly believe in just handing tax dollars out to a private company so that they could continue to operate. I really don't, and I think these things need to be looked at hard on a case by case basis. And anytime, you know, I'm on the planning and environmental quality committee, and anytime we're authorizing anything that even, you know, remotely looks like that, it gets pretty close scrutiny. And I think, again, it needs to be on a case-by-case basis. It would have been, you know, I don't know much around the specifics of their departure, but, you know, it would have been nice to kind of maybe for somebody to have had a conversation with them before they jumped, or if there was a more comprehensive way to do that from either the state level or or wherever. I mean, I know this, it's notorious New York State. The people say it's not an easy environment to conduct a business in. I don't know that that's a true, you know, totally true, but certainly this doesn't help.
So when you look at what the county government's role is now, mm-hmm. or could be, in this whole economic development process, Geneva seems to now have a whole row of opportunity there on 5 and 20, obviously, with BJ's right. Wholesale also leaving.
Yeah, we need a grocery store, like bad.
A grocery store.
I really like Wegmans, but it's a one-horse town now.
Options are a great thing.
Yeah.
What is sort of, where does county government, do you think, sort of fit into the grand scheme of being able to sort of foster mm-hmm. a good environment for businesses, grocery stores, whatever it might be, to yeah. come into places like right. Geneva, Canandaigua, even smaller, more rural communities?
I think it's, you know, working hand in hand with city officials and town of Geneva officials, which I know that they do. You know, the county, I know our county economic development folks are eager to help on any of these sorts of projects, and they work closely with our city and town leaders. So I think that's, you know, kind of adding that layer of support. You know, what can they do that maybe city or town staff doesn't have the bandwidth to do at a given point in time? I think that they're well aware at the county level that, you know, what's good for the city of Geneva is also good for the county when it comes to bringing in a new business or a new grocery store or whatever it is. You know, so I think it's just kind of being that intermediary between the local government and the state level and kind of effectively carrying out that, you know, that set of duties.
My last question for you, from a reader who wrote us from, looks like Bristol, she basically said she's a fan of what the county is doing, but wonders if some of the more rural communities in Ontario County are being thought of as sort of equals to their larger counterparts, where it seems like a lot more activity is happening. Is that a sentiment that you guys kind of have to navigate all the time, or what is sort of the approach there?
You know, that's a it's an interesting sentiment that I've not previously heard. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I'm sorry that someone would think that. I don't think that that's the case. I think actually if you look at the success, some of the recent successes, whether it's in Canandaigua or Geneva or wherever, I mean, I think a lot of it centers around this kind of agro-tourism industry, mm-hmm. in which really those more rural areas are completely fundamental to that. I mean, you can't have a farm-to-table restaurant without having a farm and a table. So you got the table in the city of Geneva, but you need the farm in Bristol or wherever else that's producing, you know, the best honey in the world and the best grape pies or you know, organic vegetables or whatever the going thing is that people think is terrific. So I think the rural areas in our county are completely fundamental to the rest of the success. That makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm sorry to hear that sentiment, but you know, I don't think that it's lost on anybody. I think that people are pretty attuned to trying to raise all boats. You know, I would say that I've had a great experience working on the Board of Supervisors. I know some people in, you know, like my constituents or whatever will kind of roll their eyes like, oh, I don't know how you can deal with it. But, I mean, everybody is very cooperative, very thoughtful. I truly think that the people sitting around the table have the best interests of the whole county in mind. So that's what I would say, you know, to that resident. And to make your voice known to your supervisor too, because I would say that it's a lot easier to do these jobs when you know what people want from you, right? Mm-hmm. So I like when people contact me and say, hey, Lou, you know, can you talk to the economic development people about this, or can you talk to the landfill people about that, or can you follow up on this? I actually like that because it gives me some direction. I want to be bringing something home. I want to be accomplishing something for the people that I serve. So,
Supervisor, appreciate the time.
Let's
do it again soon.
Absolutely. This is fun.
Thanks for joining us this hour on Inside the FLX. I'm Josh Durso, and we'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, download the FingerLakes1.com app to have the latest local breaking news, alerts, and podcasts delivered right to your hand each and every day. Follow and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoy the program and can support us, head over to patreon.com/FL1 to pledge monthly support. If you have an idea for a show or simply want to let your voice be heard, drop us an email or leave us a voice message by visiting insidethefLX.com. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you back here next week.